Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday, right? Use some brand new headphones and they sound weird.
They look new. They look very nice.
Yeah, they're the same kinds that I use, but each one's a little bit different, so it sounds kind of like this. You have your favorite go-to headphones?
Yeah.
Do you buy the same ones over and over again? Or
well,
those...
I've not been doing this as long as you, so I'm still on.
So they're still lasting.
Number one. Yes.
I just had a gargling incident.
Yeah.
Ooh. Turns out it's a skill you have to practice.
Oh.
Yeah, my voice has been a little raspy lately, so I've been trying to, you know, like, drink as much water as I can, and which I said to Rach, it's so terrible. I thought about it, and it has been weeks since I've drank anything but soda.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I don't like water, and I bought one of those Stanleys, but then I left it sitting out with stuff in it, and it turned into black mold.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Oh.
Exactly. So
you killed it.
I did. I killed my water drinking. So I got some smart mouth, and I was swishing it around. I'm like, oh, I'll just gargle a little bit in my throat. Next thing you know, it's all over my shirt. Like a little kid.
Have you never gargled before?
Not in years. But I have gargled before, because when I was singing in the band and I would have a voice like this, I would gargle olive oil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one time I swallowed it and threw up.
Oh, yeah.
And the dog started running in circles, and I started laughing so hard, and I couldn't, no one else was home, and I couldn't stop laughing, and he's running in circles, so I just threw up olive oil.
Wait, so that's a thing, olive oil to gargling with it?
I've never heard of that. I read it somewhere, and it tended to work.
As long as you don't throw up, it works.
As long as you don't throw up
don't
on your dog.
Swallow the whole thing, yeah.
That was one of the worst nights of my life, though, because I was I'm not sick right now. I'm just having some vocal issues for whatever reason. But I was sick, and we were playing outdoors at New Melly. And the guys knew I was sick. Now, I was the worst singer in my band. My band was a bunch of all-stars. And they're like, dude, just play drums all night. We don't care. But I was being Joe Biden about it. I'm like, no, the show must go on. I'm going to be the lead singer. And after one or two songs, I had blown my voice completely. And they're like, dude, just stop it. Just play guitar. And so I was trying to sing backup because I was ridiculously stupid. The next morning, I had nothing. Couldn't even make a squeak. Went into my ENT, and he had to snake a camera up my nose.
That's fun.
Down to my vocal cords.
Ooh. Yeah.
And he said, he goes, now don't worry about it. You're going to feel like you're going to gag, but I've never had anyone gag. And of course, I gagged.
Oh, no.
And he started to go up one side, and he goes, nope, deviated septum. Never knew that. Went up the other side, got all the way down there, and it was a journey. And he goes, I'm going to have to pull this out. We got a little mucus on the end of the camera. We
can't
have to do
see.
It again.
Oh.
So he had to do it again.
Oh.
And I had roached my vocal cords, and there were a couple nodes growing on them.
Mm.
And he basically said, because he knew me and he was a fan of the show, and he goes, if you want to kill the golden goose, keep being stupid like this. Because you're this close to losing your voice. So I had to go 7 days without talking.
Yeah.
I mean, without making a sound.
Mm.
But that was scary.
Not great.
Yeah.
Kevin, I'd never make it.
I could do it. Oh, no. You know,
I actually had to do that. I had the whole camera up my nose. And yeah, I did for a long time when I was, what was that? Probably like 15 and 16, 2015, 2016, maybe 2017.
And that's why your headphones are so loud. You keep telling us.
No, it is part of it because.
To keep it down? Keep your voice down?
So I don't try to talk louder. If I hear it loud, then I. And this is me not talking loud. Like, that's.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We're familiar.
Oh, yeah.
We're familiar.
Yeah, when he talks loud, it's.
Yeah,
loud.
Yeah. It's different.
You ever done a decibel test?
No.
We should do that.
No. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
We get like an app on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows how accurate it is.
We've done that before.
But I basically had to relearn how to talk.
Cicadas.
Yeah.
We can see who's louder.
Yeah.
I would put you against anyone I've ever met.
Yeah.
Oh. He can carry it.
Chris Kerber is there.
Yeah.
The two
really?
Of us. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, the two of us. He might have me, but it's close. We used to joke about it. Because we were like, when I was doing blues pre and post when they were here on KMOX, I'd maybe be down by the locker room, whatever, coming out towards the ice, and I could hear him recording a promo up in the press box from that far away, but it was empty stadium, it was loud, and he told me he could hear the same thing.
That's funny.
So when he would be down there and I would be doing like an afternoon sports update on KMOX, everybody in the building could hear it.
We did it before, back when Close was on the show, because we all, live on the air, took the phone with the app, went into the corner and screamed. And we're all, you know, normal. And then Andrew did it, and he sounded like a woman being stabbed to death. Because you have a pretty loud voice, too.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever I set the the volume for everybody on the board, I do have Kevin down lower. Like, I don't think that's going to hurt his feelings or surprise him. No. When Andrew's in here, I take him down a little bit lower than Kev, honestly. Got a loud voice over there. What?
Nothing. It feels like I'm being judged for my loud voices. All.
No one's judging you. I'm just saying you have a loud voice.
Right over here. I'm judging you.
I don't know if it's loud. But it feels invasive.
When I scream for volume, I have to go like, I have to scream like Homer Simpson. Like,
wow.
Aren't you glad you stayed today?
Yeah. No, this is all very enlightening.
We went to a restaurant today, and I won't say who because I don't want to dox them, but Saddam Hussein was a busser.
Oh, wow.
I was looking at him, and I couldn't figure out what Hollywood celebrity he looked like, but I knew it was somebody, maybe the soup Nazi, I'm not sure. And I said, who is this? And immediately Andrew goes, Saddam Hussein.
Saddam.
But if you look naturally that much like Saddam Hussein, you got to shave that mustache.
Yeah, I told him if it was like a few years ago, I'd have made a phone call. I'd have.
The see something, say something?
Yeah, I'd have seen something and said something.
We were talking about what a strange era that was.
Yeah, they're looking at the wrong place.
There were signs on subways and
airports.
Just every public place you go.
I would have reported Ranji so many times.
Think about how silly that is, though, like telling totally untrained people to look for something they're not trained to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said to call you. There's a guy with a bag. Is he doing anything? Nope, he just has a bag. I don't like it.
Or is he? I don't know. He left.
Did you see the Red Rocks UFO sighting?
No.
It's pretty cool. There were a dozen employees at Red Rocks when there was not a concert, and they looked up, and all 12 of them, and they're not like connected in any way other than they all work there. All 12 of them saw what they described as a 3-story flying saucer with 3 rows of lights, like window lights, and it just hovered there for a couple of minutes. They said that they all felt the sense that the thing knew that they were watching it, and then rather than like darting off like they do so often, it just sort of dissolved into nothing.
Just phased out?
Mm-hmm. What? Crazy.
Cloaking.
Well, you know, they smoke a lot of ganja there.
Well, that's fair. That's fair.
You ever smoked the ganja, Ron?
just one. Just one ganja.
Yeah. I got a
How many ganjas have you had?
I got a feeling ganjas. Ron's has had the ganja.
Hey.
Ron's the ganja.
Ganja. Something that we all need to see.
Ganja, Ronja?
A couple times.
Yeah. All right.
Couple of times.
All right.
Today?
Well.
Not yet.
A couple times a day?
No, Amy's not in. I'm fine.
Man, it says the sighting lasted about 30 seconds. You would think someone would get out their phone in 30 seconds.
I don't know. When my friend and I saw Bigfoot, I was holding my phone, and I didn't even think about holding it up and taking
a video.
You're
startled. Yeah.
I think it takes longer than 30 seconds to, like, because you got to unlock the phone. You got to get in the app. You got to center it. I buy that they couldn't.
You know about that when I saw Bigfoot?
I've heard tell of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And there he was.
There he was.
Were you scared? You had to be.
No, I was. So all of the Sasquatch podcasts I've listened to and all the firsthand encounters and people will talk about how your brain sort, you know, and my analogy is like when you're out to dinner and you swallow something down the Twinkie pipe and you're choking.
Oh, it's the worst.
And everyone's like, you okay? And you're just, it's going to take a minute. It's just going to take a minute. You're holding your finger up. Just going to take a minute. That's how my brain felt when we saw that thing that we saw. It was like my brain it was like trying to hold on to a wet water balloon. And then by the time maybe 30 seconds went by and I realized what it was, and then I was just in disbelief.
Yeah.
Because I'm in Colorado with my pal. He's been making fun of me for 3 days because we're on motorcycles, and he would point up on the mountain like, hey, look, it's Bigfoot. And I would look, and then I'd flip him off. And honestly, it was getting pretty old. Like, we're good friends, but we're not good friends where I can be like, hey, you know what you ought to do is F off. So we're good polite friends. Yeah. We haven't MF'd each other yet like you do with your best friends.
Right.
And but I was getting close, and we took the gondola up to the, which I found out I'm afraid of gondolas. I took the gondola up to the top of Vail, and it's right there. I can show you exactly where it happened. It was within 200 yards of this roller coaster where there are kids screaming and yelling on this little, you know, roller coaster they have up there. And he took a picture of me. I can show you the picture. And he handed me
Bigfoot took a picture.
Yeah. And he handed me the phone, my friend Scott, and he said, "What's that?" And I was just, the words were in my mouth, like, okay, this is that's enough. This is the last time. And I said, I started to talk, and he goes, "What's that?" And I said, "I don't see anything," and I didn't. And he pointed his hand, and I got behind him like in a movie, and I looked down the where his finger was pointing, and what it looked like to me was Manute Bol. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Or skinny Kevin legs. Durant, someone who is prohibitively tall and thin, and it was black from head to toe. There was no lighter parts. It was just completely black from head to toe. And you know, Skip Weber is a good friend of mine. I see him once a week. He's 6'8", 6'9". And it was about 150 yards away. So most of us have played golf, and you know, there's that 150 yard marker, and you're standing there watching someone putt out. You can tell, is it a man? Is it a woman? Yeah. Are they fat? Are they thin? Are they wearing pants? Are they wearing shorts? Are they wearing a hat? No hat, mustache, no mustache. You can see it pretty well. And this thing was acting. Remember when you were a 12, 13 year old boy and you'd go to someone's house and their sister had their friends over and you'd dare each other, like, go outside, do a stupid dance, and then run back in. And you'd go out there and you'd be like, you know, you'd do something like that. That's what this thing was doing. It looked like it was doing a stupid, fruity little dance and walking in circles. Or another analogy I've had is like on the I Love Lucy or something, the 50s shows, when a man's wife was having a baby and they're pacing back and forth and they're smoking and it's like real over the top for comedic effects. That's what it looked like this thing was doing. And then it walked back into the tree line and that was it.
That was it.
It's crazy.
Huh. What? You think it was a dare?
A Bigfoot
it,
dare?
It got dared to show, hey, I mean, that's go what show it, the humans you're here.
It looked like, and also I don't mean this to be offensive to man or beast, but it looked like it wasn't quite all there. Like maybe it was a juvenile, or maybe it wasn't quite all there. But it absolutely happened. And if anyone doesn't believe me, you would believe Scott. He's like the most straight-edge, conservative Christian, thought that I was so goofy and noodly to believe in Bigfoot. But we had dinner not too long ago with his fiance, and sure enough, she said, "Well, what do you think it was?" And he said, "I think we saw Bigfoot." 123 DGS on KMOX. You know, you have to recognize genius when you meet it. And I work so hard at this show, and we do the Google Doc. And Rach is my MVP. She comes up with such great topics. And then 10, Wheels has 10 of them for today. And they're everything from sports to religion to politics. And then friggin' Andrew. My wife won't let me make hamburger stuffed hot dogs.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's absurd. It's cruel. I put Life is Cruel on there. I should have put Wife is Cruel. She won't. So we've been doing big, grand Sunday night dinners, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we're very excited about it. It's been a lot of fun cooking them up.
He's got a little sad face on there, too.
He used an emoji.
And on Sunday, we made ribs, and it was delicious. Oh. It was great. We made ribs and street corn and a cucumber and tomato salad, which I did not eat.
Jeez.
And it was
you love corn.
No, he
didn't eat the tomato and cucumber.
And tomato.
Oh, okay. Well, who would?
Yucky veggies.
Yeah, it was. It looked very yucky. So we were trying to figure out how we could possibly top that for next week. And I had a solution right out of the gate because I had seen this a couple days ago. What you do is you take the hot dog. You cut it down the middle. Hold on, John. You cut it down the middle. You leave it closed on the ends, but you just make the incision in the middle all the way through.
Wouldn't you have to hollow it a bit?
You might have to hollow it a little bit, because otherwise you just kind of peel it apart like so, like make a little circle in the middle. Then you stuff that with the ground beef and maybe some cheese. And there you go. You got hamburger hot dogs. They look perfect. They look
to have the thick hot dogs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you say, hey, I'm not like going to say what I was going to say.
Well, you want to have the longer would be more important than
what if you did this? What if the hot dog were your bun and the hamburger were your hot dog? So now you've got like one of those, is it cake? You know, like you'll almost freak people out.
I see what you're saying. Almost like a lobster roll, but with there a hot dog instead of bread.
Now, have you tried this concoction?
No, I want to, but she won't let me. She's like, that sounds like the worst thing I've ever eaten. And I'm like, you're wrong. She likes hot dogs. She likes hamburgers.
Well, she's a vegan.
Well, no, she eats vegan regularly because of her milk allergy.
Okay.
But she's not specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. That might turn her vegan. Though,
and then, we might all be vegans after
if
this.
If I made hamburger hot dogs.
Andrew eats like he's at a minor league baseball game. Like, oh, how about a hamburger with donuts on each side?
We should call that one the Spalding.
Those are the only recipes I know.
I want a hot dog, no a hamburger.
You'll get nothing like it!
By the way, speaking of hot dogs, I did have the Sam's hot dog over the weekend.
Okay.
And it is just as good as the Costco one.
Okay. Are they just the same? Like, are they literally the same?
I don't know if they're literally the same.
Because Colin and I were talking about it. We think they might just buy them from the same place.
I'll have to eat 30 or 40 more before I can make that decision. But
that was Mark Close's
thing.
We'll
get there.
Do some research.
Close had Close's classic custard, all K's. That wasn't smart.
What?
And his big thing was it's the same. I bought the same stuff as Ted Drew's. Me and Ted got the same stuff. Wally drops it off. That was his thing. He was in business for, I think, 67 days.
Yeah.
He shut her down.
The wheelbarrow full of quarters.
And at the opening, he had one of our interns dress up like an ice cream cone. And this ice cream cone used to be white and it was gray. It's the nastiest, smelliest thing you'd ever seen. And she couldn't see. And his place is on Manchester. And she kept wandering out onto Manchester Road. We had to keep grabbing her, pulling her back.
Kind of gives a whole
why didn't that work?
Classic custard.
Whole new meaning to the traffic cone out there.
134 DGS on KMOX. John Hancock hanging out with us. Amy is
gone.
I don't know. She probably was going to go to Silver Dollar City and thought it was too much like Vegas or something. So
yeah.
All that candle making and butter churning. No one needs that. Kids don't need to see that kind of foolishness.
A lot of blacksmithing going on.
You better believe it. But you picked an interesting job. We were just talking about how the first rep, congressperson, has come out and called for Joe Biden to step down and talking about what the possibilities are. It could just be that this guy is following the convictions of his heart and his brain. Could be that he's the first guy to go out there and take the arrows. You know, could be like, hey, you owe us a favor. You get out there and do it. And I was saying that based on the polls, you're just talking about 27% of Americans think that Joe Biden is up to the task. 72% thinks that he should step down. 50% of Democrats. But those who are saying quit being part of the bedwetting brigade, those who are saying he's our guy and we're not stepping down, they're just being loud. They're shouting down the voices that were coming out on Thursday and Friday.
Well, so, you know, like any politician, Biden's got concentric circles of people around him, and your tightest circle is your family, and maybe your one or two closest. I mean, you can count them on one hand.
Yeah.
And that's the inner circle. That inner circle is unanimous that he's got to run. They want him to run. They've got incentives, personal, financial incentives for him to run.
Yeah, they're ass out if he doesn't.
Then you've got your close advisors in the next concentric circle. I think there's probably a lot of conversation going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your key political must-haves, the major donors, the folks that coordinate your campaign and all of those things, that your professional consultants are on that outer circle. And those folks are freaking out. They're, you know, the folks that do this for a living, I promise you, are freaking out right now. The problem is they're not in that inner circle.
Yeah. They can't get to him. Yeah.
And so it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out, because for me, it's so obvious that they just need to move along. And
did you see Carl Bernstein last night?
Yeah.
That was really something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bernstein of the Richard Nixon fame said that he has spoke to a great number of very highly placed people. We're talking about people in the Biden administration, yeah, who are saying that they could count between 15 and 20 episodes just like this. And they said, he has good days. No doubt about it. He can be really sharp. If you saw him yesterday,
yeah,
and look, I understand putting your best foot forward, drink Botox, whatever you need to do. But he went from looking on Thursday like he was made of earwax to looking like an Oompa Loompa yesterday. He was so tan. And like, you shouldn't have to fool me.
Yeah.
You're the leader of the free world. You should have it. You should have excess. Excess energy. You should have excess brain power. Everything. You should be the most impressive human being I've ever met. You shouldn't be having, you know how like if you don't see well and you can squint really hard and you can kind of make out what's on the menu, that shouldn't be what you're doing just to appear like a normal human.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you're reading a 4 or 5 minute speech off a teleprompter. That's different,
yes,
than speaking cold. And it's going to be really fascinating to see if they persist and he's going to be the nominee, how hidden they're going to keep him between now,
yeah,
and because
what about the 27th? I mean, when he's supposed to debate again, if you're Trump, what do you do? Because Trump could get away with anything at this point. He could say, I'm not debating that man again. That was a debacle. It's a waste of my time, because he's already won handily and he can walk away the winner. Or do you say, let's see if this happens again?
Sure. Yeah,
the odds
of it happening again are pretty darn
good.
High. Mm-hmm. An hour and a half time, and yeah, I probably would.
After 4 p.m.,
like
we heard the people saying he's good between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
This whole thing, though, this is why for so long I've been on this generation of politicians needs to get the hell out of the way. It's time. There should be Gen X people at the top of the political food chain. You know, Barack Obama was 47, George Bush was 54, Bill Clinton was 46. Both H.W. Bush and Reagan were under 70 when they were first elected. Jimmy Carter was 52, Gerald Ford 61, Richard Nixon 56, Lyndon Johnson 55, John F. Kennedy 43. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Why can't this group of people get out of the way?
What do you think it is, John?
Well, the whole way we nominate in a president, if you're an incumbent president, it's overwhelming odds that you're going to be the party's nominee. And what you had here, in addition to two old guys, is you had essentially two incumbent presidents seeking their party's nomination.
Right, right.
And so the chances that somebody was going to beat Donald Trump were small and non-existent in terms of Biden. So it's kind of, in a way, not surprising that we're here, because Trump persisted in running and Biden said, by gum, I'm going to do this too. And
yeah,
here we are.
These guys are both older than Bill Clinton, who was elected 30 plus years ago. They're both older than George W. Bush, who has been out of office for how long now? 16 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? I mean, like, and it's not just them. I mean, we talked about this with Pelosi. We've talked about this with McConnell. This group, and I think there's some sense, right, because we age better than we used to. So there is some understanding that 75 now is not 75 from 40 years ago. But this is a real, to me, it's a real problem, and it's a real issue that they're not just moving out and retiring like most politicians did in their 70s in the past.
But also, doesn't that also, that's also true of the populace, that the populace is older.
Yeah,
and people
yeah,
who
no,
are older
true.
Can vote for longer.
And they vote and more they, frequently.
And they vote more frequently, and they are not turned off by the idea of voting for an older person because they are old, too.
I think some are, though.
Some? But what do you think the numbers are on that?
There's an awful lot of octogenarians out there that I talk to. That I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday who's 78 years old, and he said, you know, these guys have no business running for president.
But also a lot are insulted by the idea that somebody their age can't be president.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just funny how the dynamic works. Like, we all do this joking thing. The older you get, you're like, I'm too old for this crap. You know, I'm 52. I'm too old for this crap. These guys are 80.
I wish I could find
these. On the toughest job in the world.
I saw numbers before the debate, maybe a day or two before, and it was the percentage of age groups likely to vote for either Biden or Trump. Right. And I believe the highest percentage was 65 and older.
Yeah.
People willing to vote for him.
Yeah.
And I do think some of that is by constantly talking about how old Joe is and how old Trump is, that it's almost in it. It's saying to you as a voter, well, you don't think much of me then, do you? Like, you think I'm too old to do stuff. I'm too old to be president. And maybe people who are 75 think, I wouldn't want to be president.
My dad is retired.
But I think they
take it as... He's that age and he's retired.
But I do think some older people take it as an insult.
Yeah, I understand that. And this is why I'm putting it on the candidates and the people in positions of power to have some self-awareness, right? Because they're basically just taking advantage of the biggest and most active voting bloc that exists right now. And I don't mean like conning them. I just mean they're benefiting from that. And have some awareness that you are not the best person for the job right now. Just because
That's
you've been there for 100 years, you're not the best person
is
for the job.
This whole Highlander, there can be only one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Democrats made merciless fun of Trump when he said, I'm the only one that can do this. Mm. Joe Biden is not the only one that can do this. In fact, he's one of the worst people to do this. Michael Jordan, he's the guy you want taking the final shot of the game. Unless Michael Jordan's ass is 81 years old.
Yeah, Mike's not going in the game now.
Then you don't want him to take that last shot.
But that's the equivalent of it. How old is Michael
Give
Jordan right
Jason
now? 60?
Tatum.
So we're going to put him out there in the NBA Finals for the last shot at age 60 because he's done it before?
Nope.
No, because the players now are better.
Let's talk to Elton here on line one. Elton, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Hi. A pleasure to be on the line to express my views and probably some views of others. The thing is, okay, he is what he is. He should have been in there way before
True.
Obama and a few others, but I'm going to just get to the thing. He can get help. He can get help. He can get support. He can get assistance, all this kind of stuff. But to me, it's just a smokescreen when you keep on hammering this man and shredding him and just destroying the man's character. He is the first person to, he's the heart and soul of the Democratic Party from the standpoint of reaching across the island and encouraging and fostering unity, things of this nature. You know, he is the godsend of destruction of division. He's not a perfect person. No. Nobody is. And that's all we got. Do you want Trump?
No, but I don't think anyone's disparaging his character
not
at all. We're just saying that he's 81
he's
going
not
on
what
92.
Used to be.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with character. And but I won't be able to pull that lever for Biden.
If I were running a business and there was an 80 something year old person with lots of experience, I would absolutely utilize them for counsel and get their advice and their suggestions and learn from them. This is not what this is. This is the president of the United States of America, who is dealing with the most powerful nation in the world, some of the most fiercest adversaries in one of the most unstable environments you can possibly imagine. It is a 24-hour-a-day job. We're not asking Joe Biden to give us advice on what we ought to do. We need a president, and he's not it.
And I happen to put great stock in what Carl Bernstein says. Maybe others don't. But when he says that he has spoken to people at the highest levels who are actually in the room with Biden, and that they could count between 15 and 20 times that Biden was basically non-communicative.
Yeah. And part of my take on this, too.
And like it's not getting better.
Right. And building off what John said and all that, this is also the time in history where things have moved faster than ever. And it's only accelerating.
Yep.
And if you can't, you know, I don't know what Joe Biden's technical proficiency is, but if you're not going to be running a smartphone and posting for yourself on social media and you can't do those basic things, how are you going to be dealing with AI? How are you going to be dealing with all of the fast-moving changes that are happening? And again, I think it's more than just the president. This is all of Congress at this point. The average age of Congress is the oldest it's ever been. Well, you're making policies for things that even people in their 20s and 30s are just keeping up with. People that are in the field of AI are just keeping up with. How are you supposed to be the ones that are leading in that regard when you don't even get it?
You'd have to hire good people who know what they're doing in those areas then, which is, I think...
Or
then
just elect those people.
Sure, sure. And you're right. But the choice is, at this moment, a binary choice. We have a choice between Trump and Biden,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think what, for a lot of people, it will come down to, and it will for me, but also I live in a state where it doesn't matter, is does he hire better people? Will he have a better team around him than Trump will? And I'm sorry, I do not trust the people that Donald Trump will hire to be his
people. Rick, we don't have time to take your phone call. We're late for a break, but Rick is saying it's not about his age, it's his condition.
Yeah.
It's wrong of you to say people his age aren't capable. I completely agree. My mom will turn 97 on September 5th of this year. She fell and broke her hip 3 months ago. Before that, she was living at home. So when my mom was 81, when my mom was 91, when my mom was 94, she had her full and complete faculties, a fact that I lamented a lot because she's mean as a snake. But she knew everything that was going on. She took care of herself. She lived alone. She needed minimal help. You can be 80 going on 60, and you can be 80 going on 95. I agree with you, Rick. It is his condition. It's not about saying, and he's probably coming after you, Wheels, for saying that we need to be electing Gen Xers,
right, but
not boomers.
We've never done this before as a nation. We have never had elected representatives this much older than the rest of the population. Never. Not presidents, not senators, not congressmen. And I get it. I understand, because the nature, I mean, we've also never been older as a population, right? And we live longer, we live healthier longer.
Yes.
But I don't think that it's a good thing. And I will stay that way when I'm 80, if I get there. I will believe the same thing, that people in their 40s and 50s should be the ones that, because you're in the middle range. Your parents are the older people, your kids are the younger people, and you can grasp both.
Yeah.
If you're three generations removed from some voters, that's not okay.
I do sense, though, John, that the tide is switching over to what the last couple callers have said, leave him alone and let him go.
Well, we'll see. I think it's a grievous political mistake, but what do I know?
Took a few more phone calls on the break, and it's sort of taking shape that what a lot of people are saying. And by the way, with my tiny voice from the back of the bleachers, I'm still trying to make the case for switching horses. Because what we saw the other night, we all saw it, okay? You can put lipstick on the pig, but we all saw it. Having gone through this, and I'm no expert, having gone through it with my dad, with my mom, and having watched it progress, and everyone's different. Joe Biden is not my dad. Joe Biden is not my mom. He's a different human being. But it doesn't get better. Concentric circles, two steps backwards, one step forward in this case. But I'm still fighting the fight to replace him. If they don't do that, on election night, I will be rooting for him to win, because as an avowed institutionalist, I will believe and hope and depend that when he does deteriorate to the point that he simply cannot be president, that he'll be replaced by the institutions, that the institutions will hold the way that it done January 6th. I agree with you. I don't want to see Donald Trump back in office. I just also don't want to see someone who is so compromised that someone else is running it.
Yeah. But the conversation that's happening right now is about
who they would hire.
But it's right. But it's also about trying to win that election.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's what
it's not too late.
That's what a lot of the Democrats are arguing that want him to be replaced is we think we have a better chance to beat Donald Trump if it's not you. That's the argument that some of those people are making. It's not just, hey, let's take pot shots at a person. That's not what anybody's doing.
No.
And I'm not taking pot shots at either Biden or Trump. But like Ronch and I, we were just talking about it during the break. They're too old to be managers in baseball. Nobody would hire him. Tony La Russa is 79. He's younger than Joe Biden. And when he managed
Reinsdorf would hire you.
Yeah. When he managed the White Sox, it was horrible. It was awful. He was falling asleep in the dugout. And again, Tony is one of the sharpest human beings I have ever known. He is so accomplished and smart and brilliant. But it happened to him too. And, you know, like that's, I don't know, I'm repeating myself, but it just, you nailed it, Dave. It doesn't get better. And look, you look at the average age of a Fortune 500 CEO, it's 59 years old. You know, there are outliers. There are older ones. But if the people running the biggest companies and running things like that are not going to be 80, why are we having people in Congress? Why do we have senators? Why did we have to deal with, what's her name? Dianne Feinstein, not knowing where she was, not knowing that she wasn't there, being wheeled in to vote about an issue she probably doesn't fully understand. Why are we doing this?